Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I want to thank God for another day of being here, another unpromised day has been granted. I want to thank everybody because as it stands right now, we are at 7,343 listeners, up from 7,212 last night. So I don't know where you guys are coming from. I'm going to say this every single day. I thank you. I thank you for sticking out through all of our glitches, all of our long and passionate conversations, all of the cyberspace drops, everything. You guys have been coming in, sticking with us, been inboxing us, you've been responding, and we really appreciate that. So let me start off giving a few shout-outs to our sponsors, to our incredible Barry Mason, Barry Maestro Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kicks, currently with ISO Radio and the CEO of Track One Entertainment. Thank you, Barry, very much for being a part of our team and letting us be a part of yours. Thank you very much for taking your amazing talents and helping us go through here and lending a little bit of your expertise down to a few of us rookies. And to my other two divas, these two wonderful ladies and very talented ladies with event planning, Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Marcia Morgan with Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment. Loving you very much, ladies. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Speaking of, they have an event coming up. Please pay attention to Facebook, and you will be able to see their up-and-coming event, and you can keep in track of it. If anyone listening that's in the New York area wants to know about these things, you can either inbox Barry Mason, inbox one of the ladies, or you can inbox the show, and we will give you some direct to the right place. Without further ado, let me explain. We will be talking tonight about the topic, Little League Big Rage. Are sports kids' parents making life miserable for these children? And not only that, if in our continuous fight to empower the youth, are this type of behavior giving them mixed signals? Now, before we get to that, Monster Miles is going to lead us off tonight with his Friendly Sports segment. Those of you that are listening, after the break, you can feel free to listen to Mr. Miles and join in as usual. Okay, we'll be taking our first break. I'm going to hit you out, going out to break with the Fat Fat Band, I Found Lovin'. Okay, see you back in four.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Yo, there, folks. Your boy, Miles. You know how we do it with the lovely sports going on and for these lovely Brooklyn Nets right now. They may have did smart moves during the trade and during this offseason, but yet this is that Jesse King coach, and he's already getting arrested for DUI. That's not a good look for you, Jason King. Come on, man. You just became coach of your former team, basically, and you want to become an idiot right afterwards? Not a good look at all. Brooklyn is supposed to be the number one team right now. But with a coach like that, not looking good for y'all right now, Brooklyn fans. And I know a lot of people jump onto this Brooklyn bandwagon because of Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and now you got Jason Kidd as the coach. So a whole bunch of people jump on that bandwagon. I'm not. I will never become a Brooklyn fan in my life. Anyway, as for these Lakers, I'm seeing they're talking about their eyeing LeBron James and Carmelo for them in 2014 to join. Okay, one, that is the worst and dumbest thing I ever heard for them because of the fact you can't have three ball hogs on one team. Carmelo just learned how to pass the ball this year. No offense to him, he's a Knick. I respect all Knick players. But he just learned how to play and pass the ball. Having him and Kobe on the same team, not a bright move at all. As for LeBron James and Kobe, egos will clash. They will not go to a championship if they have all three on the team or even just LeBron and Kobe or Carmelo and Kobe. Their egos are too big, and it won't work out for them at all. They're used to being the stars of their own teams. You can't put three star players on the same team. It was dumb of the Heat to put D-Wade, Christina Bosch, and LeBron James on the same team, the big three. Let me not get started with them. Also, for all the Knicks fans out there, looking like we're doing pretty good with Kenyon Martin. Looks like he's going to be coming back next season. You know we need him because he's the only one as a center who will go for fouls when they're needed but not really necessary. He's not afraid to take a foul when it's necessary. Also, as for the whole J.R. Smith catastrophe, I don't know how it's going to look right now. Not looking too well because he's supposed to get knee surgery and he's supposed to be out for 3 to 4 months afterwards. Well, folks, you better hurry up and get that knee surgery done just for the simple fact if he wants to be back to play. And Knicks were dumb because they should have found that out right before they made that choice to re-sign him. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate J.R. Smith, but that is a dumb move on their part because now they could be missing a great player. We already have Melo, we have Stoudemire, I guess. We have Shumpert. Now we got Meta. Well, we'll see how that will turn out for folks. Now let's talk about this baseball. All-Star game just recently happened. The homie Mariano Rivera closed out a game once again, his last closing in an All-Star game because he's retiring next year. And American League finally won after 3 years straight. 2 to 3 years straight of losing. 3-0. I'm proud of the American League because we needed that win. And I'm happy for Rivera because of the fact he went out as a champion. Go American League. National League, nah. I'm not a fan of y'all. Y'all got freaking net players and you got trash players in the National League right now. You got, matter of fact, the National League has irrelevant players, irrelevant teams. They shouldn't even be in baseball, period, the way they play, and they play like little girls. Matter of fact, I've seen little girls play better than them. They may hate me after saying that, but hey, they'll be all right. As for the Yankees right now, A-Rod, it's not looking too good. Who knows when he's really playing? After all this controversy, after his hip replacement, hip surgery, who knows what's going to happen with him? I doubt he's really even going to play this season. Just for that simple fact, he has too much controversy facing him. And he should just retire, or else Yankees are probably going to kick him off. Who knows how that will go. Now let's talk about my favorite sport, football. After the whole Zimmerman trial happened and got off with that stupid verdict, Victor Cruz posted an inappropriate thing on Twitter and said if you put him in the hood, he would only last 1 year. I agree 100%. We all know that is a fact. Matter of fact, we all know that's a fact. It's not even an opinion. It's more of a fact. But he took it right down afterwards just for the simple fact because of his status in football right now and being one of the most influential people. And he just resigned with the Giants for $45 million. So that would look bad on him. Also, for him right now, he said that signing for less money was tough. Because honestly, he wanted that number one wide receiver. Hey, he didn't get it. But he stayed with a great team. Yes, he's better than a whole bunch of wide receivers that are out right now. He's better than DeSean Jackson, who's an Eagle, and I hate him already, just for the simple fact he's in Philly. That's why I can't move to Philly, because we will clash. I don't care. And even who is relevant in the football world that's better than Victor Cruz right now on any other team? Oh, and Steelers fans already. Nah. No one even reached 1,000 yards last season. So bring that back. And Patriots, Wes Welker, come on now, you're better. The defense shut them down. Your other best player is going to become a wide receiver in jail. We already know that. Y'all dismissed him afterwards because y'all didn't want bad publicity. But you're already a circus because of Tim Tebow. You're not going to be able to do anything with him just for the simple fact you got Tom Brady. And please, Tom Brady's ego right now, not going to work. Especially when you got a wife like Giselle, please, she's going to be running her mouth if her man sits on the bench. And we already know what happened after the Super Bowl. She ran her mouth and got caught. Come on now. And the whole team hated her for that. So let her do that again now. Well, only difference is, Tebow got God on his side, apparently. So, bad things could happen to Giselle. Let me stop being mean. But hopefully, this football season will be interesting. Because last year was pathetic, in my opinion. Because a lot of good teams, they were horrible last season. To me, the 49ers and the Ravens did not deserve to go to the Super Bowl at all. Yes, y'all wanted Lewis to win his last ring and who cares? I'm not a Ravens fan. We're in New York. That's Baltimore. See anything at all right there? Baltimore, New York. Nothing in common. But they made it. And that Super Bowl was fixed. it was going to be a shutout from the jump, but then automatically a blackout happened. And then right after that blackout happened, the 49ers come right back. Come on now. We all know the 49ers are not that good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving Ravens any extra credit than they deserve. Flacco, yes, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's good. If I put him and Eli together, I say Eli's a way better quarterback than Flacco. People will hate me for saying that, but suck it up. You know the Ravens did not deserve that win. They didn't even deserve to make it to the Super Bowl. Neither did the 49ers, because the 49ers were horrible themselves. When I see teams win a lot more than they deserve and fair, I say they go to the Super Bowl and they deserve that win. What are the Super Bowl predictions for this year? You want to see New York teams go, because of the simple fact we're having a Super Bowl in New Jersey. Will the Jets go? No, not at all, because when you have Sanchez as a quarterback, they're not making it anywhere close to the Super Bowl. He sucks. He throws worse than a girl. Even my sister throws better. My niece throws better than him. And the new quarterback, who knows how that's going to work out, because their egos are already clashing. Just for the simple fact, Sanchez had a practice for the whole team. He didn't show up. He's still practicing in Florida and everything. How does that work? You're supposed to be a team player, and you only got two quarterbacks clashing. Who's going to win this whole quarterback placement? Sanchez isn't, because after 26 turnovers last season, he don't deserve nothing. He don't deserve to start a quarterback at all. Maybe the new kid could do it. Who knows? Maybe he has more talent. I'm not even sure on that one. As for the Mets, I'm not even going to them right now because they're leaving. And their pitcher is supposedly the best right now. No, he's not. People need to stop lying to yourselves, please. But sorry, I just have to throw it in about the Mets. They're not relevant right now to me. They won't be relevant till 2016, 17, when they start getting good players and start winning games. But back to football now. My prediction will be Giants are going this year. Not just because I'm a diehard Giants fan, but because their offense and defense got much better during the offseason. Justin Tuck doing way better than he did last season. You got David Wilson, who ran over 1,000 yards last season alone. And that was just off a kick return. So who's gonna beat them? Victor Cruz. Nobody's touching him right now. Hakeem Nicks? No. That's the duo right there. And now we got Randall on there. We're going to the Super Bowl, folks. Pretty straight.
Sasha, come here.
Also, the lovely the Buccaneers, they got our kicker now. Times. Retired. I mean, not retired exactly, but he left the Giants. Went to the Buccaneers.
Yep.
Why? I really don't know. But Times was an excellent kicker for us. I wish him nothing but the best.
Matthew called me.
He could do something. He could help the Buccaneers go further this year. And they got Revis. Who knows? That could be a duo for you. Yes, he's a kicker, and Revis is a defensive player. But that's what helps football teams win games, folks. Just letting you know that. Every position counts. It's the same thing for every sport.
He calls
and the same thing goes for football as it does in basketball. You can't put too many star players on one team when the egos will most definitely clash like there's no tomorrow. You're going to have Clash of the Titans or you're just going to have a whole bunch of losses because people did not know how to work together. I'm going to feel bad for all your Jets and Cowboys. I mean, Cowgirls. Then you got the Redskins, and now they want to change it to the Redtails. They want to change the Washington Redskins name to the Redtails. I mean, I understand that concept. I understand it completely. But out of all teams, yes, they're from Washington. But no, Redskins do not deserve that name at all. Yes, they got RG3. That's about it. But they do not deserve it. That's historic right there. Leave the history back. Wait for another team that deserves that name. But naming the Redskins the Red Tails, nah. And if you don't know the Red Tails, watch the movie. It's just sad if you don't know. But I'm not going to be mean tonight really on that subject. Also, I feel bad for all y'all Pats fans. Y'all lost Wes Welker to the Broncos. Y'all lost Fernandez. Now y'all got Tebow. He's going to get what? Three.
I did call you for something.
Play in the whole season. Five, if you'd love
to. Well, yeah. That is like off.
Then you got, who else is there in the, then you got the Steelers. Well, you know, you got Big Ben in there. He's a beast. Nah, he's not. He's going to get taken down already. He got taken down plenty of times this season. Okay, what other teams are there? Like, all of them are relevant to me right now. Oh, the Dolphins. Let's talk about Miami Dolphins for a second. Miami Dolphins. I know all the hype right now is in Miami because of the Heat.
Where's the tide?
Like, all that's going to die down once the Dolphins start playing. Folks, trust me. They have not won a championship for nothing. They have not gone to the Super Bowl. Matter of fact, they have not touched the playoffs in a while. Jeez. That was a lot since before I was born. So that's kind of sad. And if y'all, all y'all Miami fans out there, deuces. Buccaneers, they're going to actually do something, hopefully. Then you got the 49ers. They could go. Oakland Raiders, I mean, I have nothing against them because they got that. I just like Kevin Barr. That was my homie. That was an old Giant player, so that was my homie. Well, oh, yeah, you got the Texans. I don't know. I don't have any predictions for them right now because I'm New York, so I don't pay attention to them. Then you got the Panthers. They could go someplace. They just need to work better together and learn to rush the ball better. Then you got, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best league's best quarterbacks. Okay, I'll give you one of, but yet, he lost. He's too old. Get a new quarterback. And they always say he's like the white version of Michael Vick because he could run the ball. He could run, but he always gets hit. Here's the difference. Vick knows how to dodge. And he'll get further than Aaron Rodgers. And then you got Clay Matthews or whatever his name. Tell him cut his hair. Please. This man needs to cut that hair. Like, I'm sorry, NFL should have a rule. Cut your hair. Because they're going to, like, just pull it through your helmet. Like, look at baseball players. They all got to be clean cut usually. You look all after Johnny Damon looking like a caveman. Hey, you gotta look clean. who knows how that's going to work out for the NFL. Even though I think NFL is still underpaid, and that's the only reason why. That's fact. As the other host, Katie, right here, says, the NFL is not like the NBA. The NFL, you can actually play the game, whole game, and there will be calls on both teams. Yet, in the NBA, play against the Heat, you tap LeBum, foul. You trip Bosh, foul. But yet, let them smack another player. Oh, I didn't see that. Keep playing. Or even giving them the easy team to play in the playoffs. We could have still made it. Hold on, folks. We got a call on. Hello, caller. You on the air?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm all right. It's Lady Diamond. How are you? I just got in right now, so what are we talking about?
Oh, I was just... We were just stating the fact that how the NFL isn't rigged like the NBA.
All right.
And that both teams will get called for everything they do. As for the NBA, when you play the Heat, only that other team gets called on it. And they get the easy schedule. So how do you feel about that?
Gee, I don't feel about anything right now. I'm on my baseball field right now, practicing. And I'm like, right now I'm in baseball mode right now. The NBA, I don't give a shit about. I don't give a shit. He pissed me off. I don't care. The Heat pissed me off. I really don't care no more. If they lost, I would care.
Understood.
You know, now there's nothing entertaining for me to talk about. There's the Heat and LeBron, James, whatever the hell his name is, you know? Nope. I got nothing to say about him either.
That's a first.
I got nothing to say about him, sorry.
It's all good.
Just can't stand him. Just can't stand him. He has his receding hairline. I just cannot stand him. And a bull hogger.
Oh, but you heard that the Lakers are looking at him and Melo for the 2014.
But they can take Melo. LeBron James, no, hell no. Let them take Melo. Fuck LeBron James. Sorry about that,
Sure, mix me Melo. Okay, so who's your favorite football team?
Oh, my favorite football team? I'm a Giants fan.
All right, okay, I respect that.
I'm a Giants fan. I'm sorry, I'm a Giants fan. I don't like any other team. I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan. But I have a girl, a friend of mine, she's a Dallas fan, and I don't see the reason why she likes Dallas. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Giants fan at heart.
Of course, it's always Giants.
And once in a while, I find my root for the Patriots.
Wait, can you repeat that?
Once in a while, I'll root for the Patriots, depending who they're going against.
Oh, no, I only root for the Patriots when they go against the Jets.
Oh, yeah. They have a pretty good team, though. I mean, the Patriots always have a pretty good team. I mean, last year they could have taken the Super Bowl.
Honestly, they should have. Like, I didn't want to see the Ravens go.
Yeah.
But wait. Talking about the Patriots, did you see the Jet and Patriot game on Thanksgiving?
The Jets versus the Patriots? No, I don't remember it much. If you give me an instant replay, maybe I'll remember it.
Okay, no lie. Like, within 30 or 21 seconds, they scored 4 touchdowns off the Jets. All you saw was turnovers.
The Jets, S-U-K-S. Neil, yes. The Jets, S-U-C-K-S. I'm not a Jets fan. I don't like the Jets. You know, so, of course, they're going to lose. Go ahead, go ahead.
Katie over here says the Jets are the default team if the Giants lose.
They're like the Mets.
Nah, I would even root for them.
The Jets is like the Mets and the Nets. Oh,
exactly.
I'm sorry, the Brooklyn Nets. Jets, Mets, Nets, Islanders. Even though they should have called me the Itch.
I will never jump on Brooklyn's bandwagon. I will never jump on the Jet bandwagon. And I will...
Hell no.
Never. I will never ever jump on a Mets bandwagon.
Oh, hell no. I wouldn't jump on any of those bandwagons at all. My father, he's a Mets fan, Jets fan. Jesus, I don't think they ever learn.
Okay, wait. Like, are you sure that's your father? Like, come on, how are you to be a Mets and Jets?
He's just in the X. I don't know. Jets, Mets, Nets. I mean, he's not a Nets fan. That's the only thing.
Oh, okay. One out
thank
of three.
God. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's
the
same thing with my father.
Fan, I'll yell at my father.
Nah,
I mean,
sounds like my father, but my father's a Mets and Patriots fan.
A Patriot, yeah. I know a lot of Patriots fans down here.
Exactly. It's annoying. Like, we're not in Boston. Go there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
go
I
join
them. I don't care. I hope so. You know, it's fine because I used to hope for them too, but when the Rams get the Giants, of course I'm going to go for the Giants.
The Patriots personally know they're not beating the Giants.
Yeah.
Every game they play against the Giants, they've lost.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. So, 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Still, Tom Brady's supposed to be the best quarterback.
Yeah, Tom Brady, yeah, he's supposed to be the best quarterback.
Katie just said
I
his wife
better.
Is the quarterback.
Oh, shit.
No, but it's kind of true. Like I was talking about earlier, she was talking mad smack after the Super Bowl 2 years ago, or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The one they lost.
Yeah.
They just have not won the Super Bowl against the Giants.
I don't care, I mean, when the Giants go against the Patriots, I still go for the Giants. The Patriots
exactly.
go against the Dallas Cowboys, I'm like, all right, let's go Patriots. Beat the crap out of that team. I'm sorry.
Nope. Okay, Cowboys are irrelevant right now. Who do they have? Romo? Like,
they got Romo.
I bet you guys go to the football game just for the cheerleaders nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Cowboys, that's the only thing they have to cheerleaders.
Exactly. It's kind of sad.
I'm not into cheerleaders, but I'm just saying, you know.
Katie over here about to choke his choke now from dying laughing.
I'm trying to play the game for the team. They're supposed to be cheering the team on.
You heard her?
No, I didn't hear her.
I said the cheerleaders for the Dallas Cowgirls are tired. They're tired of playing the game for the team. They're supposed to get a cheer them on.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. They're supposed to cheer them on, but I know they do. They're probably better than the team.
Nah, they're rooting for the opposite teams nowadays.
That's true.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left, so final thoughts on this lovely sports right now? Any predictions
yeah.
for the football season?
Any prediction for the football season? I got to wait until it starts, and then I'll throw my predictions out there.
Okay, so what about baseball right now?
Baseball? Well, the All-Star game was pretty good. The All-Star game was nice.
It was
nice when they did the standing ovation for Mariano Rivera. And to the Sandman, yes. Yes, I also did a little standing ovation for him, too, because he is my favorite, and he's one of the best, he's the only, to me, the only best, you know, closer for the Yankees. He's the best closer out of all baseball teams out there. He's one of the best ones. And, you know, bless him that he's retiring. And he got the MVP. He deserved it. I mean, shoot. The Yankees were blessed to have him. I hope they retire his number and go away.
They should.
They should. They should retire my Bernie Williams number. They never did.
That's just sad. They should have retired Bernie Williams' number.
Yep, they should have. He went to the Yankees from the start all the way to the end. He retired, and they just ditched him on retiring his damn number. I wear his number proudly whenever I go on the baseball field to my softball game. I wear his number proudly, 61.
There you go. That was my first play.
And Mariano, I'll wear his number too, proudly as well. Because like I said, he's one of the best closers that has ever been out there. I don't know any closer that's out there that could compare to him. None.
Very true. Okay. It was nice talking to you. We ran out of time for these sports now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show. That was Monster Miles with his very colorful, vivacious sports. We are going to go to break, and when we get back, tonight's topic, Little League Big Rage, is going to be in effect. Lady Elaine, please hang on out with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes, okay?
I'm here. Love you, Monster Miles.
No problem.
Mom.
It makes it easier to bear. You won't regret it, no, no. Some girls, they don't forget it. Love is their only happiness.
I invented sweat, popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Proof, I guess I got my swagger back. New watch alert, few blows. All the big face, Rolly, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, y'all maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the hole.
Damn, easy and hoes, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, tucking in. I adopted these niggas, still a coming in. Now I'm about to make them put their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, well, I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bin. Last week I was in my other bin. So your time is up, so we in and get another game.
Photo shoot fresh, looking like wealth. I'm about to call a paparazzi on myself. Live from the Mercer. Run up on Yeezy the wrong way, I might murder. Me in the G450, I might surface. Political refugee asylum can be purchased. Everything's for sale. Got 5 passports, I'm never going to jail.
I made Jesus walk, I'm never going to hell. Couture level flow is never going to fail. Luxury rap, the Hermes of verses. Sophisticated ignorance, write my curses and curses. I get it custom, you a customer. You ain't custom to going through customs. You ain't been nowhere, huh? And all the ladies in the house got them showing out. I'm done, I hit you up, man, yeah. Nah.
Welcome to Havana, smoking Cubanos with Castro and Cabana. Viva Mexico, Cubano, Dominicano, all the plugs that I know. Driving Benzes, with no benefits, not bad, huh? Put some immigrants, build your fences, we digging tunnels. Can't you see we getting money up under you?
Can't you see the private jets flying over you? Maybach bumper stickery, what we're overdue? Jay is chilling, yay is chilling. What more can I say? We killing them. Hold up, before we end this campaign. As you can see, we done bodied the damn lanes. Lord, please let them accept the things they can't change. And pray that all of their pain be champagne.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
I told you guys.
Well,
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We are about to get tonight's topic underway. We have our co-host, Lady Diamond, on the line. Monster Miles is in the studio for just a little bit longer. We just came off of one of Monster Miles' usually happy-go-lucky, vivacious, and straight-edge talk sports, which I wanted to start off with tonight, his segment, because tonight's topic is going to the flip side of when sports becomes a problem. But now, here's the twist. Tonight's topic is not about professional sports. It's about Little League sports, and the people in are not the children, but the parents. Now, we've all heard it. We've all seen the story. We've all witnessed it at some point or another. We've seen the crime shows. We've seen all of this. Every parent wants to see their little baby win, their little angel run. They want to see all their kids get all the big trophies. But here's the problem. When you start getting overly zealous and overly competitive, more so than your children, what are your children getting from it? Okay, sports, the sportsmanship that's required in sports, the team thinking that's required in sports, the strategy thinking that's required in sports, the discipline it takes to get better at your game. These are all the things that sports are supposed to represent for our children, to help build positive character, for them to learn how to engage in healthy competition, for them to know how to be an individual who can also be part of a team, how to sit back at some point and take the lead when necessary. Now, when parents are sitting up there and they're fighting because they feel that somebody didn't give their child a fair shot at winning, and they get to the point where now their children are seeing these grown folks get involved with physical fights, or some of these parents are even hitting other children. You're taking the competition of the sport to the wrong level. So I'm calling Lady Diamond in today because
what?
She happens to be a softball coach of a Little League team, and she absolutely knows this particular topic firsthand. She's seen it. She just recently experienced something, and I'm going to bring her in right now so she can share her story. Hi, Lady Diamond, you're back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, you know what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about when parents go crazy in Little League sports, what are they
teaching? I can give you a few examples on that one.
Okay. Well, you can start. Go ahead.
All right. Well, not everybody knows yet. I've been coaching girls softball for 9 years already, and I've been affiliated with this league, Ida Youth Charles, sports and kids program in the Lower East Side of Manhattan for like 10 years almost. Throughout my years coaching, managing my girls, coaching a pee-wee team, it's crazy. And time goes by, things change. A lot of things change. The attitude of the players, the attitude of the coaches, and the attitude of the parents. What happened to me like several times was I would have my pitching practice, and a ball will go into the field during a game. And this is an accident. It's not meant to happen, but it happens. And I had one parent that she actually grabbed the ball. She ran onto the field, grabbed the ball, and tried to throw it over the fence. And I was like, wait a minute. When I noticed that her arm did not reach anywhere, the girls in my softball team, they just burst out laughing because she had a horrible arm. So me, I just grabbed the ball, and the lady tried to be rough with me. I said, listen, it was an accident. It's no big deal. And she's like, no, but it's interfering with the kids' game. So, okay, fine. All I have to do is just move this. And that's it. Another time that I had to deal with, well, not me. I didn't have to deal with that. It was before my daughter's game on Sunday. Her team was practicing on one end, and the other team was just getting warming themselves up for the game. There was a Pee Wee League game going on at the same time. So while the Pee Wee Leaguers are about to congratulate each other and say, oh, okay, good game, good job, well done, the coach of one team told his team, if any of the kids hit them, to hit them back. Then he looked at the other team and says, if you touch my kids, they have a right to hit you back. A parent heard that from the opposing team, ran onto the field, and got into an argument with them when there's a bunch of little kids there. And mind you, these kids are like from 5 to maybe 9 years old. 8. They're really young. And they just, the parent threw a punch at the coach. The guy's a huge ball, and these kids are there in the middle of the whole thing. It continued. The fight continued. It didn't stop. They separated the parent and the coach. The parent went one direction, the coach went the other. When the coach saw him, he kept on going after him, making it worse. Now, they're also endangering the kids. They don't care. Like, today, parents don't care. The coach is like, it's like, the thing is, remember yesterday, we're talking about leadership. The first leader and the only leader in that whole team is the manager and the coach of that team. These kids look up to them. They look up to them as their idol, as their, you know, role model, in a way. They're not. Most of these managers and coaches are not a role model to these kids. Cause, come on, if you're telling your kids, if these kids hit you, hit back, you're giving them what we're doing. So listen, if any of these kids hit you, just let me know. I'll talk to the manager. That's it, end of deal. But it didn't go that way. So, of course, if one kid hits the other, a whole fight will break out. And it's a wrong way of doing things. It's crazy. And the parents, they're the next one. They're the first role models. And they don't even know how to set an example. Most parents do not know how to set an example. When they see the kid get hurt, they jump in, they start fighting, everything. They don't even think about, wait a minute, this is sport. This is supposed to be a fun game for my kid. Why am I ruining this for my kid? They don't even think about that.
That's really sad because, as we were saying before, that sports is a really big channel for children to be able to get out there, to put their energy into something positive, productive. They have a way of learning really, really important and relevant life skills. Because learning how to work as part of a team, learning how to have to take turns in leadership roles, meaning that sometimes you'll be the star player, sometimes you'll just have to be a supporting player. Other times, you know, you might just sit on the bench altogether. But at the same token, they'll be learning discipline because there's team rules. I know in school sports, if you don't have your certain grades up, you can't play on the TV. So all of these things, and then they're forming friendships, they're having social growth, and, you know, socialization. So the problem is now, they're doing all of these things, and their parents who, okay, it's great that you're at the game to support your child, but when you take it to the point where the lesson about healthy competition or balancing out your many different roles or being able to take rejection or take a loss, when you start teaching these children that it's all about the win, it's not about doing your best or practicing to get better next time or learning from what you failed at with the first game, what can you do better the next time. When you take that away,
right,
then the lesson in it or the benefit of it is gone.
Yep,
and not only that, I have two articles that I was into, and they took a survey. This is on family.go.com. It's a parenting team article from the Disney Family Channel. They called it Parents Rage in Youth Sports. Why Parent Rage in Youth Sports is a Serious Problem. And it's written by Gwen Morrison. Now, the only thing I don't know is what year this was because there's no time in it. But whatever time period that was, 500 parents that are Little League parents were surveyed. What they found was 55% of parents in 2001, this was something they asked, okay? 55% of parents, and this was back then, what are we now, 13? I think that's about a little more than 10 years ago. In 2001, 55% of parents say they witnessed other children. other parents engaged in verbal abuse at youth in sporting events.
Yes.
21% of parents, and this was back then, so can you imagine with the way it's been escalating now?
Oh, yeah, it's escalating a lot. I mean, competition is at its highest, especially when it's involving their kids and sports. It could be any sport. It doesn't even have to be baseball or softball. It could be football. It could be soccer. It could be hockey. It could be any of those sports. And once the parent is involved, oh, forget it. It's like all hell breaks loose. They start fighting with everybody. They start fighting with the coach. They start fighting with the manager. Everybody.
This is the problem. There's a little saying that says, I love you to death. This could very well turn out to be a literal example, like, because from what I'm seeing and what I've been noticing and what I've heard and what comes up with me, parents are getting to the point where they're putting their hands on other children. Somebody took a knife out. A parent took a knife out, and I believe, I don't know if it was the coach or the referee. They didn't like the call that was made, and the father came off the stand onto the field where he was on his way. They got into a fight, and the knife was pulled out. The coach wound up meeting, no, one of the dads wound up meeting 100 stitches to his face in his back. And this is not even you playing. This is not like these little leaders are getting money. This is not like these little leaders are going to be on the, you know, on the in the president's box. This is about them putting something fun to something strategic, you know. Maybe one day they can grow up and be a professional sports player, but at least they'll have the ethics of the game now. But how are they learning that? Not only that. Think about what you're teaching your kids and doing it.
Sorry, like, I'm like 9 years old.
One of the things that needs to be understood is, doing this, you develop, there's other secondary and third-hand things that you are creating. You're creating bullies in your children.
Oh, yeah. That's what the bullying starts.
Yeah, you're creating bullies in your children. You're telling them that there's no such thing as a loss, only a win. You should be teaching them they should always have set their goals to win, but that it's a 50-50 chance. But the more you practice, the better your chances are. The more you practice, the better your chances are.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll keep the kids motivated. You're teaching these kids that, you know what, oh, my God, when my mother and father is in the audience, if I don't win, they're going to be mad at me, or I'm going to look bad, or I'm going to feel like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling these kids that you get to win at any cost, even if you got to beat another kid up.
Yeah.
Even if you risk going to jail, even if somebody gets risk getting hurt or killed, even.
Yeah. Like I said, the competition is so high. Once it's involving the kids, it just destroys the whole art of the game. It just destroys the whole art of the game. It's like it doesn't seem fun anymore. I had one. I went to a game two months ago. And a friend of mine was umpiring. So I said, okay, let me sit around and watch this. He invited me over. So then I'm going to watch this game and see how it goes. So the manager of the team started to yell at the umpire because of a certain call that he made. And the umpire's like, you know what? It happened this way. I'm sticking to it because it's true. And, I agree with him. I said, you know what? He's right. Whatever the third base bag is, it's where it is, and he's going to call it fair. Even though it was on the foul line, whoever the bag is, that's where they're going to call it at, fair. You know? So the guy got a huge fight with him, and not only that, he involved the parents. He started to argue with him. And I mean, like, wow. So it went to the point that from the team that was winning, they started to lose. They started to lose, and the kids started to get scared. And once they started to get rattled and scared, that was it. They couldn't play no more. And the manager pulled the whole team off the field. I was like, wow, you know, you really let that little thing get to you, and you're huffing and puffing and screaming and shouting, and you're not getting anywhere doing that. You know, I mean, it's crazy how now the coaches and managers and parents, they just really let little things get to them for no reason. They could just let it brush off, let everybody learn from it and keep moving, and they don't bother doing that.
It's getting out of hand. This is as bad, you know, as somebody. The parents act like it's them that's out there. And you know what? If this is the time where they can start
develop their strength in their children's character by allowing them to have certain losses. Their job should be to sit there and be that village with the coaches and the referees. Each day. Well, they also, the coach said he benched you because you didn't show up on time for practice, or you were not good in practice today with another teammate, or you weren't able to play nice with the other kids, or whatever the case is. It's not for a parent to sit there and go, why is my child sitting on the bench? Mm-hmm. Why is my child on the bench? You know, and start screaming expletives in front of their child.
Yep.
Or screaming expletives in front of their child, or start showing violence in front of their child, or watching you as their parent hitting their teammates. You're telling your child, if I don't make a win, my parents are disappointed. If I don't win at any court, I'm a wuss. I gotta get this win off the knees. I gotta keep this kid in the strength.
Oh, I live right there.
Okay, yeah.
So, thank you, all right?
Yeah,
so, let me know next time.
Yes, they had a long day.
Yeah,
I know. She was a little out of it today, but.
Yeah. So I know she has a football game, I think, downstairs on Sunday, but I'll let you know on that one.
Oh, yeah, text me.
Yeah, I'll let you know about that. Thank you again.
Oh, yeah, of course, no problem.
And you work up, too.
Hello, man. Hi.
Hello. Yeah, sorry about that. I was talking to my daughter's trainer.
Okay, well, we had the situation with the sports rage in parents is the children are not getting the messages that they should be getting from a game that is a positive influence on their development. Sports combines a lot of things at once. That's real life skills that they can grow up and apply to their everyday life. How do they manage and function in a team? How can they take directions? How can they assist other people? How can they learn how to stand back and take one for the team? How can they learn how to improve their own weaknesses in a certain area? How can they help others by using the strengths that they have to help somebody else who could use some help in that area? Not that we're in the game and because there's a prize at the end of it that, you know, we better get that prize and there's by all means necessary. By all means necessary. That means if I got to beat somebody up that's weaker, and my parents will help me do it too. That's another thing that they're getting.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to take a very short break. I'm having a little bit of a mic glitch, and it'll be about 2 minutes, and I will be back to make sure everything is okay here. All right? Hang on with me.
I'm here.
Coming from
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back to the On the Edge show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. We've been having a little bit of sound glitches this week because of the crazy weather in our neighborhood. We've had storms, now it's crazy heat. So around us, we are dealing with a little bit of a network issue. Everything should be resolved between now and next week's segment. So thanks to all of you for being patient with us out there and for coming through and listening anyway. Okay, back to tonight's topic. We are speaking about Little League Big Rage. Our sports, our parents who indulge in sports rage behavior, doing more harm than good to their children. What exactly are the messages that they're being sent to our children? So we discussed a few things, and I'll be bringing our co-host right back in. We discussed that, as Elaine said, she witnessed a parent starting a fight right on the field and continuing the fight in front of these children, including his own. And it became something that the parents and the children had to see, and some of them are just 5 years old, 5 to 9. So let's bring her back in so we can continue the conversation. Elaine?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Now we have a little bit of an echo here. We are discussing the effects of parents who involve themselves in sports rage-like behavior at Little League games. I cannot see. First of all, just if on everyday basis, just the way we handle stuff as adults, arguing that way never gets anything done. It escalates behavior and reactions from other people. And, you know, the rage is there. So we are speaking now about how is it that any type of positivity can come out from children witnessing their parents behave that way. An article we were just bringing up spoke about a basketball, a Little League basketball game. Two parents got involved. One father didn't like the call that the ref made against his child. The referee began to explain that they got the calls all mixed up with the definition of what certain calls in basketball commonly mistaken to be. And a fight ensued. And what happened was a knife was pulled out, and one of the fathers wound up needing 100 stitches from his face and his back. On his face and on his back. So this is the only inevitable result that you will get from sports rage-like behavior. And it's not you playing. These children actually are in it for the fun of the game. And as they're going into it, they're starting to learn to love the class of the sport. Some children have been watching baseball players since they can remember. So to be in it for them, it's a little bit of a dream world. The last thing that they want to do is be embarrassed by their grown parents calling somebody a curse word and pulling out a weapon or beating up their friends. That child is not going to ever be invited to a party or something because everybody's going to remember that, you know, your mother or your father was the one that hit me in my face.
That's right.
You
sorry about that game, you know. I lost your difference right there.
Yeah, it's the call dropping. But that's the thing. It's like there's so many negatives that stem off from the actual incident itself. There's so much more negative results or negative effects that it takes on people who are not even in the fight.
Yeah.
And most importantly, your child. So there's so many things. You get up and you tell a referee who's in his uniform because he's supposed to be the expert in the sport. You're just a bystander or a spectator or a cheerleader for your child. Some parents don't even know the game. They're there strictly to support their children. So that parent doesn't have the right to. That person does not have the right to tell an official that they called the game wrong. But even if they felt that way, that should have been something that was brought up in private between two adults after the game. These children are seeing their parents indulge in physical fights, in weapon fights, in curse words, uncivilized, animalistic behavior. They're putting their hands on children with swords. That's a crime within itself. Putting your hands on a minor, especially one that's not your own.
Yep.
That's a crime within itself. Forget about how badly your fight with another adult took place or ended up. You putting your hands on a child, that's an automatic crime from the legal standpoint.
Yeah.
But if we're supposed to be out there teaching our children to use sports as a way to learn many different skills and have fun doing it. Healthy competition so that you can motivate yourself to do better next time.
That's right.
You know, there's always next year, sweetheart. There's always next year, son. There's always, you know, the next month. Well, don't worry about it. Isn't there another competition coming up? Well, we'll hit the gym and we'll practice. We'll hit the courts and we'll practice. Let's work on your swing a little bit. I'll send you to a camp. If I don't know how to do it, let's find out any local clubs that have practice for people in the league.
Exactly.
But if you're going to sit there and tell them, you didn't win, why did you miss that swing? So many things can stem from that one thing that you do because you're having overzeal to win. It's not just about the winning. Like they always say win or lose is how you play the game. How do you teach your child to, as disappointed as they are, they can shake hands with the person who won because obviously the better team won?
Well, with me, you know, I've been coaching for a very long time, and the first thing I tell my girls, I'm like, listen, yeah, we are here to win, but you're also here to lose as well. You have to learn from winning and losing, you know. You have to be competitive, but you also have to show good more sportsmanship along the way. If the other team is giving you a hard time and they're cursing at you or doing whatever that'll make you upset, just let it go and just keep on playing the game. You know, that should not affect how you play. On top of that, you know, I mean, if any of their parents get involved and start trying to push their daughters around because I have girls, their daughters around, or even myself or the coaching staff, we put them to the side, we tell them, listen, this is not for you. If you're not able to handle this game, then I'm sorry. Then I cannot have you, you know, participate with us to at least root for your child. It's rude. You know, you're distracting your daughter, and you may be distracting her for what may be out there for her because we always have scouts around us all the time. So the scouts watch these girls, and they know, okay, I like her to go into my college to play softball. If they see a parent that's crazy and, you know, out of line, they're like, you know what? I'm not interested. I'm going to have a hard time with this girl. But if this parent's like this, I can only imagine how the girl is off the field. You know, and it's all about, you know, they have to give a good example. Always. Parents have to give a good example. The coaches have to give a good example. And it reflects off the girls, my girls. It reflects off the kids, all of the kids, you know. Even when we go into Major League Baseball, you can see all these baseball players, it's not like they went in and they had, you know, most of them have crazy parents. But I could bet that these parents, they have a lot more control and respect. They know, listen, this is going to be the next Derek Jeter. This is going to be the next A-Rod. This is going to be the next, you know, Mariano Rivera. This is going to be the next whoever, you know, the next big league player. You know, my daughter says Jenny French because that's her favorite softball player, window pitcher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if they feel like that, it's okay. That could be the next one, maybe. And you always have to push their potential up, not getting in the way. If you don't know the sport, learn the sport. And most of the time, they don't even know anything about the sport, like you said. They don't know nothing about the sport. They're just there to be cheerleaders for the kids, and that's it. But if they actually learn how the sport is run, they'll have a better understanding of it. Which they won't. You know, they will always go under the misconception of how certain games should be played, and that's what throws all the parents off because they don't know any better. They don't know how the sport is played. Football, baseball, softball, basketball. They don't know how the sport is played, not unless they played it and they know the rules. And either way, they still don't know it.
I know when I was in school and we had girl volleyball, girl dodgeball, softball, whatever it was, the coach owned you during the game. The coach owned you during research. Your mother and father could be sitting in the stand and watching you all they want. When you were in uniform, you belonged to the coach. And the parents understood that. You belonged to the coach. You belonged to whatever protocol it took to be qualified to play that day. And if you didn't follow protocol or you were unsportsmanlike at any point with your team member or you disrespected the overall operation, you were benched that day. And the coaches back then did not care about some irate parent who didn't like the fact that their child was sitting on the bench. They didn't like the fact that they were being babied in the first place. And it built character. It built character. It gave them thinking skills. It gave them strategy skills. It gave them respect for others. It gave them respect for others. It taught them that they got to take a loss sometimes and they can win other times. It taught them that you have to sometimes stand back and let another person shine for the day, especially in basketball or in football. You know, especially in football and basketball, you have to hand off the ball in basketball often to somebody that can make a better shot than you can to get the goal, you know, the overall goal, which is a basket. In football, you're going to have to find the open man to throw that ball to and get them running. So you have to learn how to not think of you at all times or not to believe that you got to be in the spotlight all times. Parents sitting up there having fights because their kids are not winning or being given a shot, not a shot, but or not being given the favorable attention. That is not teaching them how to play a team sport.
Right.
That's teaching them that you win at all costs. No matter what you sacrifice or who you touch down on, you win at all costs. That is not what we're supposed to be teaching our youth.
That's right.
It's darn sure not where we came from. Sports was something that had just as much value for character and required that you had some character and some morals about you.
Yeah, I agree with the character and morals.
Right.
I agree with the character and the morals and what he just said. I mean, you are right. Yeah. I mean, these sports, they build teamwork. They build, they have these kids, they used to a group of kids. It's like when you start working, teamwork, and you're working with a group of people. You know, and not everybody sees it that way. Yeah, you're in a basketball team, whatever team that's out there. And that's just fundamentally getting you ready for the real world, if you think about it. If you're not at a certain place at a certain time before the game starts, you're late. It's like if you're not at work before 9 o'clock, you're late. So it's the same thing, and it just continues. It's like when we go to school, we're supposed to be at school at 8 o'clock or earlier. And when they're past 8 o'clock, you're late. And it's just getting you ready for the real world, how to interact with other kids, how to interact with other groups that's outside of your group.
I remember that my girls' dodgeball team, they used to have, like, if you came early or by a certain time, they would have, like, free breakfast or free snacks and, things like that. My coach always had some incentive for people who made it to practice. He always made sure that he made showing up for practice, a rewarding experience if you followed rules. Anybody who is just 1 minute over that time, okay, if you were 1 minute over, he might have given you like a lecture. After 5 minutes, that was it. You had no mercy. And you had to do laps. He kept you moving. And the thing was is that he was stern and firm, and he didn't care, but he also cared, if you know what I mean. He didn't care about the back talk. He didn't care about the parents having something to say about his methods or anything. But I'll tell you one thing. That team won almost every year. Maybe not the specific players, but the team overall won almost every year.
Yep.
And that team wound up being close, learned how to care for each other in and outside the locker room. They learned how to apply it to other people. They learned how to take a loss when it did happen, because no matter
That's
how
right.
many times he won, he always told them it could have went the other way. Don't get comfortable.
Right.
And if you were the biggest catcher, the biggest thrower, the best dodgeball thrower, he didn't care. If you violated a rule, if you violated some policy, if you caused harm or disrespect to another player, if you caused overall offense to the team itself, he doesn't care if you are the only player on the entire team. He will sit you out in the most important of games to teach you a lesson.
Yeah. Yep. We don't have coaches like that anymore. We really don't have coaches like that anymore, you know? I mean, all the coaches talk about today is just winning. I really don't see coaches like that anymore. And if there is, it's very, very few. Very few. And we don't even see them. That's the thing. I mean, but the coaches in my league, this is all volunteer.
None of us get paid for it. You know, the only ones that get paid for are the ones that are in the high schools. So, you know, who are in PFAL or, you know, any of those sports, you know, affiliated leagues that's out there. They're the ones who's getting paid. Compared to myself and whoever's doing the summer league program, we don't get paid for this. We don't get paid for any of this, you know. So, like I said, there's not that many coaches or managers out there that is able to teach the kids the fundamentals of the sport or to teach the kids what's right and wrong, or teach the kids good sportsmanship. You know, all they think about right now is just winning, 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 winning. I'm going to put my best player out there, even though he or she has not shown up for the past, you know, 10 practices. I'm still going to put my best player out there because I know that they will lock it down, which is wrong. You know, then we have parents who don't know anything, like, you know, like I said before, they really don't know much. They don't know the rules of the sport. And they end up fighting because they're clueless to what's going on or why a certain call was made, you know. And that's up to the manager or coach to say, listen, we're going to have a meeting. I want to explain to you about certain things that you may or may not understand. If this happens, we'll talk about it after the game, which they don't even bother. It would be a good idea because usually, once the game is over, the parents are ready to leave and go home.
Now, you see, we were speaking yesterday on leadership, right?
Right.
Now, you just said something very important. You said you don't see coaches like what I just described from our day.
True.
You don't, because you have a different caliber of parents as well. Back then, our parents, well, half of the time it's because they didn't understand what, you know, like all the semantics of things in school. But others, it's because they viewed coaches and anybody that was on the opposite side of the school building doors to be the experts in a situation. Okay, so they
right.
respected their territory in a sense. But on the other hand, if you can still in this day and age, and I remember how long you've been softball coaching.
Sure.
If it's been 9 years in all of the changes and the cuts and the adversities and the obstacles, and you can still maintain 9 years worth of softball coaching in a community that people come to see to the point where they get involved to fourth grade, that means that there is something that has to be done from a different angle. And that means that there's an interest, a collective interest in it enough for somebody to have ears to a voice. So I feel that maybe you should start somebody, even if it's you, start polling
mm-hmm.
each of these parents individually when you can catch them. You know, say
right.
that there's a mandatory coach-to-parent meeting, you know, like PTA night, like parent-teacher
right.
conferences. Have a coach-to-parent conference and start telling them, listen, I need your help out there. You know, your daughter, she needs to work a little more on her swing, and I need
right.
your help in helping her do that. But if you're going to be out there screaming, she's going to get thrown off of what she's good with. So maybe that's something
right.
that we could do to keep it going. And then maybe if you're doing it, your co-workers or your co-staff or your co-volunteers might not have the fear of the rage parent to run from. Because I don't think that your co-workers just don't care. I really think that they're just scared.
I mean, this is not the same day that it was when we were growing up. It's just not.
No, it's not. It's not. You know, I mean, with me, when I used to coach alone. I mean, I used to be alone at the field last year. And the year before, I still think it was just myself and my brother because we both run the team. And we had to do, I mean, we had to really go down and actually, you know, teach yourself, like, 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds how to play. You know, it was just myself and my brother that time. And it gets tiring. Last year I went through the same thing. I said, you know what? Let me ask. So I asked the fathers of my girls, to listen, your daughter needs help with this. Your daughter needs help with that. Please help with it. It's just me, you know, coaching these girls. I can only do so much. And they did. They did help me out on certain things, especially during the fall time when it's like a very short season for them. I have a father that he helped me out. He helped his daughter, and he helped me out, you know, catch the ball for me or hit the ball for me for the girls and everything. And I was happy for that, you know. And on top of that, I mean, most of the my girls age, they don't even show up to their game. It's like they don't even care or they don't know nothing about their daughter playing, which isn't so great. And I have, like, a very few who do show up. They don't know that they treat these girls like as if that's their daughters. And I do the same thing with these girls. I treat them as if they're my daughters. You know, I protect them all the way to the fullest, and they know how I get. If I see something wrong, they look down at me like as if I'm their mother. I'm like, no. No, don't look down on it. Just keep going. You know, don't worry about it. Brush it off. Let's do it again.
Well, that's a blessing right there. And that's something that you have a really good starting head start and a good foothold on making another move. And it has to start with one person. But if you can catch the loudest troublemaking parent, if you can go into it, figure out, if you watch, and if you catch the loudest heckling parent and you have that sit down and you make that parent feel like you need them to make things work or make them feel like they're part of making the game successful, that to me will possibly be the first step to shooting the snake in the head.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. But I don't know. What parents are thinking when they what do they think they're doing for their children? Their children
may not be there at all.
I don't see how that brings any sort. There's no two sides to that story. There's no two sides to that behavior. It's unnecessary behavior unless it's a self defense thing. But if you just start heckling at an official that your child is playing for. From outside in the stadium bleachers, you should be ashamed of yourself.
That's right.
You're pulling up knives at your 5 to 13-year-old kid's game, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
You should send yourself to your room and whip yourself a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
That is traumatizing to your child. Not just the mere fact that they're embarrassed that you were the loudest, most violent one, but you're teaching these children that's what I got to do. I got to grow up and beat people up to get what I want.
They're animals.
And
yeah, it's a bad animal.
No more. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the worst way. That's the worst way. Because a lot of parents, like I told you before, that a fight broke out between the parent and the coach. That should have never happened. That should have never happened in the first place. Now the coach is giving the kids an example that this is how you have to go down. Yeah, someone lays a hand, you really got to punch him out. Yeah, I understand. I mean, self-defense. It's self-defense on one part, but still, you're teaching these kids you have to fight every time. And that's wrong. Sometimes, you know, a kid will bump into you, it's an accident. So that means you have to punch the kid out because it's an accident. It's all wrong. And then the parent coming out to the field and punching the coach, he already showed another example that, you know, you could be a parent, you could be as loud and rude as you want. And it's wrong. It's wrong.
I know a lot of parents. Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry. A lot of parents that indulge in sports rage also, they usually are people who used to play the sport, and either, you know, it's over and they miss those days, or they didn't do so
mm-hmm.
well, so they feel that their child is like their next opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hard on the coach. This is still not the way to do it. That's still not the way to do it. If
no.
you truly feel
that's
that
why they have co-ed meetings.
If you feel you have a legitimate complaint, you're seeing a legitimate bad call, and you seem to think that it happens just with your kid, there are channels and proper ones that you can utilize to get the complaint across. First of all, start with the coach or the referee at the end of the game. In a way where your child is not hearing you act like a complete idiot. That is traumatizing to a child, especially in school. You have to go to school with the school team, and the school team is like, your dad was embarrassing. Your dad beat up little Tommy. Your mother threw coffee on my mom. You know, what is that?
Yeah.
If your presence there is supposed to enhance the morale and boost up the morale of your child, you're supposed to be there to cheer for them, to build them up when they win, and to pick them up when they're disappointed from losing. And to teach them how to take their disappointment and to put it into harder practice for the next time they have a competition. And the word is supposed to be healthy competition. Not obsession. Not living through your kids because your yesteryear is over.
Mm-hmm.
Not losing your temper because your little angel didn't get the call you feel she should get or he should get. These have to be earned.
Yep.
These are accolades that your children are building to, aspiring for. And that baby could possibly love the sport so much, but hate it because all they'll ever think about when they think about their favorite sport is their parents having a fight with knives that went across their face. Stop and think, parents. You are your child's biggest and first leader.
That's right.
You are the first example they see before the world ever knows who they are. You are the example that they will follow for any man in their life, any woman in their life, any job that they get, how they handle other people. They follow what they see at home first.
That's right. There they come from the home.
The power of a parent. The power of a parent is mighty.
And not that many parents, they see it that way. They don't see it that way. Like you said, if they really do the glory days through their child, they're doing it all wrong. They're definitely doing it all wrong. They could have been the best football, whatever, one that player out there. But if they see the child that way, that could be the next one that I couldn't do. Well, they gotta step back and actually take a look at themselves, you know? Because, I mean, let's run their life their way. I want to be a doctor. Okay, fine, be a doctor, because that's what I wanted to be. And I was going to become a lawyer. There's nothing I can do about that, you know? There's nothing I can do about that. So right now, it's like, the parents are like, okay, I was a great baseball player. I could have made it to the MLB. But I know my son will make it to the MLB. But then what happens when your son's like, you know what, Dad, I'm not interested. Mom, Dad, I'm not interested in that. I want to join the NFL, you know? Something completely different. That would piss off the parents more. And it's like, they don't want to see their child doing one thing because they had it that way than the other way. And that messes up the kids big time. They're not into it. If they are, don't destroy it. Don't destroy these children's reputation. If they're going to think that's how it is, and it's not supposed to be that way. By the time they hit the big leagues, Mom and Dad's gonna be there. They're gonna be sitting in the corner with the rest of the crowd, cheering on the team instead of screaming at the coaches because they can't do that.
Yeah, at that rate, they're gonna turn into little league bullies that grow up to be, you know, professional league scandal kings.
Yes.
You know, you're gonna find them in a newspaper for some scandal in sports every other week. That makes no sense. That makes no sense because it all comes back from a parent, from watching your parent, not two other grown strange people, your parent. These children are up at to swing a bat or dunk a ball or dodge a ball or hit a tennis racket. bracket. And they're distracted because of some crowd spectacle that their parents are involved in. Now they have to stop and be scared for their parents and scared about who's coming next to them or scared for the people their parents are fighting.
Yep.
And then the thing is that they're using the child as the reason for the fight. How is that going to make the child feel even in that respect?
Exactly. The kids haven't learned anything from them. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it should not be happening at all. Characters just stay where the hell they are, sitting at the benches, cheering for the kids, cheering for the other team, and that's it. If you get a little heated, okay, take a walk. That's what you should be doing. They should all be taking a walk. Okay, you know, let me take a walk. Yeah, like how this happened. Let me just leave. And if there's something that you don't like, yeah, talk to the coach, talk to the manager, and have them explain to you why. If they don't give you a good enough answer, ask them again. Listen, that's not a good enough answer. I want to hear, I want to hear how you feel about this. How come my kid didn't play this game? How come my kid only did one game out of five games? You know, just ask questions, push, you know. Once you get to play, let your kid play. And then if you're distracting that child from doing what he or she's supposed to be doing, then you know what? You're not meant to be around at that time.
Exactly. And maybe if you ask the coach instead of jumping down his throat, you might have found out that maybe your child didn't behave properly in practice that day.
That's right.
Maybe your child might have been telling you that they're going to practice when they're skipping and going someplace else.
Yep.
You understand? Maybe you might find out the reason behind it, and it might be something that you can put your input in and make it better or address the situation. Maybe your child might be losing interest because of the fact that they saw you fighting, and maybe you could say, you know what? This is your dream. I'm not going to take it away from you. I'll try to behave myself. Or maybe, maybe even better, you can stay the heck away from your kid's game if you can't control your temper. That might work.
That's right.
Let your child have the joy in their eyes of coming home and saying, Dad, I hit a home run. Or Mom, I'm real upset, about it today because, you know, Philly Tracy got that slider on me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can make some cookies or take them to ice cream or something to make them feel better. But just to be at their game and under the mask of supporting them and be their biggest pressure, that there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
And more ways than just the embarrassment at the game. You're going to tell your child, there's no such thing as it's win or lose how you play the game. It's win or nothing.
That's right.
It means that everybody's expendable in order for me to get that win. It means I don't have to have respect or regard for anyone. I just need to win. I could cheat, I could beat, and I just need to win. That's what they're saying. And you know what? If anybody gets in their way, I'll get my father to beat them up.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not going to lie, my daughter, she plays both baseball and softball. And she windmill pitches for her softball team. And there are times that she's looking at me like she needs, if she's doing it right. And I was looking the other way. I'm like, no, do we got to? Don't even look at me. Don't look at me, maybe if I'm not here. And sometimes, yes, I may look like a distraction. But there's times that she does something that is wrong, that pulls her aside and says, listen, fix this up, do this. Since her coaches aren't telling her anything. So me being a coach and her mother, I tell her, listen, you're doing this wrong. Try straight up, do it this way instead. You know? So all of a sudden, I'll just walk away. So she won't see me because I seem like a distraction for her. Which most of the time, I think I am, but she says I'm not, you know? So I'll just walk away and say, whatever. I'll stay on the other side of the field and I'll watch from far. You know, I'm not a loudmouth parent. I don't get into people's faces like what most of the parents have done. But if there's something that I see that's wrong, I would go up to the coach and say, listen, why did you do this? I'm like, okay, good for you. You have 20 years of experience in softball, but why did you do this? Even though I have 10 years of experience of softball, from what I know, the rules of X, Y, and Z is this. I'm knowledgeable of every sport that's out there. And if I see something wrong, I'm going to ask, listen, why did this happen? You know, and they have to give me a good explanation.
Exactly. That's fair. That's fair, but we're talking about parents that's just watching the game, and they don't like the call, and they automatically react.
Yeah.
And in severe ways.
And they don't even think about asking.
That there's nothing wrong with communication. Nothing. Even if you're not happy with who you're talking to, then it definitely beats out you making a rash decision you can't take back. It
right.
definitely does. And a child, you're supposed to represent your child on that field. For them to look up when they're nervous about it, what they're going to do next, and see your face as a comfort. They're supposed to see you being biased and standing up and cheering for them, even if they slid the wrong way. That's what you're supposed
right.
to represent. And at the end of the game, you have a discussion about how either which way it went. If you won, great game. You know, you were pretty high up there. You almost messed up a little bit down there, but you did. You played an excellent game. Or, listen, well, what do you think you did you could do better? Or how do you think that game got away from you? Well, don't worry. Let's go get something, and we'll take our minds off of this now. I know when I used to, I was a dancer and a choreographer. I used to have dance groups to keep people off the streets, and I would have local talent shows. My mother didn't understand an ounce of anything that we were doing. She just liked the beats of certain things because she was Spanish and didn't understand English too well. She didn't understand anything about what a rendezvous was or a split or nothing. But she knew that her daughter was downstairs in that basement or out in the front yard practicing every day. And when we finally got to the dance recital night, or we finally secured a place to put on a talent show, my mother's face in that audience was my biggest safety net on stage. All I had to do was look down and see my mother highly confused but proud as ever of her daughter, whether I was going to do a flip like a frog or come out graceful like a ballerina. She was going to be there and stand up and clap. So that is what it should be in the kids' stadium bleachers. They don't need you using them to go out there and act like violent fools.
Right.
They don't want to see you saying that I did this for you, son or daughter, when the cops are taking you away because you done stabbed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have bashed somebody's nose in. How do you think your child is going to feel when you say, when they find out that the fight started because you were trying to defend them against what you felt was an unfair or too harsh of a call from an official who's been taking care of this team longer than you have? Now you're going to put the sense of guilt on that child for feeling like they caused the ruckus. Or even third-party guilt because they happen to be your kid. And somebody got hurt because, you know, it started a domino effect.
Yeah.
You know, this
they
absolutely
the child is the one that gets hurt. Yeah.
It doesn't
usually
make
the
sense.
Child is the first one
and
that gets hurt.
And you're making it hard on people like you who are taking their time out to volunteer after long day's work and taking up your Saturdays to practice and keep the league going. Even people who are paid to do it.
That's
you're
right.
Taking time away. You're taking the value of these people's efforts for your child away. You're devaluing and diminishing what all that stands for. You're taking
mm-hmm.
away your child's options to embrace integrity. You're teaching them to cheat at all costs or beat down at all costs. And that's really, really the worst example, because the whole idea of sports is to give our children a fun, competitive, productive way to learn a bunch of skills while learning a skill of a game. Of a trade,
mm-hmm.
They're learning the arts of rewards and consequences.
Okay.
They're learning the value of your role as a team member, understanding the effects that that person will have if they don't do their part for the whole. That each person in the team has a purpose. And while each person's individual purpose is important, it's not more important than what it comes together as a team to do. Parents going out there going, no, my baby should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that?
And what's funny is that most parents, they don't understand that, that all right, with me, I used to have girls that would come in with gang beads. I had a few that would come in with gang beads on, which, you know, some of these girls are from broken homes as well, you know? They, you know, they just, they don't have the money to play, you know, whatever, or they come from a gang, and they're coming into my team. And my rules are, I'm like, listen, you're going to play for my team, fine, but those beads got to go. You need help getting a uniform? That's fine. We'll do a fundraiser, or we'll give you the money for your uniform. You know, we find different ways on helping these kids out. You know, especially if it's not the girls' softball, it's also regular baseball or whatever sport is out there. There are people out there that would say, you know what, here's the money for your uniform because I know you cannot afford it. Or if you ever join my team, that got to go. Most times, when I realize, these kids go through a lot of problems. And most of these kids, from that time, most of them were coming from gangs. And I'm like, listen, you have a choice. You want to wear those yellow, blue, yellow, red, whatever beads they have around your neck, you got to go. If you want to stay here and play, then those beads got to go. They had to make a decision. Either keep the beads and keep doing what they got to do with their life, or drop the beads and come over to my team. And a lot of girls, they drop the beads or drop whatever game that they were in to join my team because they knew that they had a better future in, you know, doing any sport that's out there, they have a better future doing that than being out on the streets, hanging out or whatever. And most of these times, they do not see that or they don't know nothing about it. They don't understand why. You know, and they just start fighting everything, and it pulls the kids away from it. It pulls the kids away from it, from being in a wholesome team that would keep them out of problems, out of trouble, and then seeing problems and trouble, you know, stuff from their parents on the field. You know, it's keeping them away from a lot of problems. And like I said, these parents do not see that. After they see these girls or these kids play, they still don't see the reasoning of why these sports are out there, why we have so much, you know, football, basketball, baseball. We have all these sports for a reason. It's to keep these kids out of problems and to have a better future for themselves.
And those sports, those youth sports and youth arts in New York City, you know that the first thing they went to cut was those things.
Yep.
From the budget. So the
That's
fact
right.
that there's still something going, you know, I mean, why would you sit there and try to throw gasoline and a match on something that works for your children?
Exactly.
Your children are learning how to socialize. They're learning how to care about something other than themselves. They're learning how to be dedicated. If they really want something, they got to be dedicated to achieving it. They're in something where there's competition to achieve bigger things the more you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
You have the benefit of there's exercise involved with it. There's mental achievements that you feel because I can really do this. I really worked hard this week. Maybe dad
yep.
and mom is lighter does pay off.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a child that believes, well, my father will just punch you in the mouth so I could do the same.
Yeah, exactly.
He's eliminated the chain of command in his head, figuring that there is no command and he's the only one on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very sad. You're teaching your children to be bullies now and repeat later.
Yep.
You're teaching them to be discouraged if they get 100% win.
Yep. And like I said, I'm going to eliminate the parents from this. It's everything. Like you said, they're eliminating these programs that are helping these kids. It's not, these programs are not a distraction in our kids' lives. And actually, all schools all over the United States, and the requirement is, especially, you know, to play a sport, the requirement is what? You have to have good grades. You have to have
yes.
good grades. It's not like you have a D and an E and a C. No. You have to have a C and above in order for you to play any sport. You know, and if you have below a C average, you're done. You're not playing.
You know, and that's the thing that everybody, I mean, not that many people know about that. Oh, how come you can't play? I don't know. See, I suck. No, you can't play because you have bad grades. You got to lose your grades up. All these major league baseball players, it's not like they're the best players out there, or even football, any sport out there. And it's not because they're the best player out there, and scouts saw them, and they took them. No. They took the scouts on, yes. Oh, my goodness, this kid is a great player. Let me see. Let me check his school. Let me check his stats. The first thing they look at is the report card. Once they look at that report card, they're like, okay, that's a kid that I want. Or, nope, I'm not touching this kid because he has a below C average, and that's not good.
The next thing they look at is any behavioral complaints.
That's
you
right.
Know that.
That too. That's right.
They have to know if he can work well in the team or she can work well in the team. They got to know if they can have good grades and have managed to play sports at the same time. That shows that they've got good multitasking skills and they know how to balance their time and their priority.
That's right.
Now, if they start throwing pencils across the room because they're frustrated that, you know, it didn't write or the pencil point broke, then there's then they'll know this guy has a short fuse.
Yep.
So we have to definitely teach our children. We have to teach us. I mean, we have to not teach our children. We got to maintain ourselves, prepare ourselves back because this is ridiculous. Sports rage does nothing. It does nothing. It's like rioting does nothing. It doesn't get your point across. It just makes you banned or in jail or someone hurt. You know? So it's ridiculous. It really is.
It is.
And I think that what they fail to forget is that the children are suffering. Your love and your support and your defense to them is suffering because they can get through the minor disappointments. They're still growing. They're still growing. They'll forget about this one thing a little bit later in life, and you'll still be sitting there with an attitude sculpting about it.
Yep.
So it needs to come to a complete and full end. We are down to like our last 5 minutes. So what Elaine, as a coach and a mother, as a community activist, what is it that you can tell these parents and about what they're doing? But more importantly, what do you feel that you can say to the children to help them deal with it and keep focused?
What I can say is this is more towards the parents, and I'll go towards the players. Parents, motivate your kids. Make sure they're doing good in school. You know, and if they want, whatever activity that they want to be involved in, let them be involved in it. As long as there's nothing illegal, let them be involved in it and step back and watch them. Step back and watch them play. Because anytime you interfere with something that they love, you'll end up losing a child because you just interfere with their life. With what they want in their life. So the players, any player, you know, keep your head in the game, no matter what happens. No fighting, you know. And it goes. I mean, also goes to the managers and coaches. Set a good example for all the kids who want to play in the future. You know, who see themselves as future and professional players. Keep your grades up. Keep your attitude, you know, in sync. There's these scouts, they look around, they look everywhere for that potential player that could make it far with them in college and then further, you know. And if you want to go to college and you want to do a sport like this, just major in something else, you could do it. But you have to show that you can do it without any distractions or anybody bothering you. And you have to have a great supporting parent. If you don't have that, then you don't have anything much. Is that you have a supportive parent or like an aunt, uncle, grandparents who support you for what you do? And that's what I gotta say.
Right.
And that's a very good piece of advice. I say, children, do lean on your coaches for the support. Do talk it out with your coaches, because it can't be something that, you know, is easy for you as well. Find a way that you can bring it up to your parents without, find a way you can bring it up to your parents without feeling that you're being disrespectful, that it will invoke some sort of, you know, bad reaction from your parents or them leaving them feeling offended. On the other hand, while you're on that field, try to focus on your play. Of course, unless, you know, it's tedious. But try to focus on your play. Try to take whatever you're upset about, afraid about, angry about, disappointed with, and put it into your play. And as you do that once and twice and three times eventually, that'll be the next most natural thing for you to do. Not saying that it's going to work all the time, because you're still a human being. But, you know, you got to try to realize that life is full of all of these adversities, and it's full of all of these unexpected, out-of-the-way, you know, left-field attacks. And it's sometimes it comes in the most unusual of packages, which means this is your mother and father fighting with another mother and father. It could be some strange boy you've never seen before that called you a name and you got upset with it. Take whatever you're going to react to negatively, take a breath, and focus on your game. Practice harder. Be mad. If you deal with baseball, do a couple of throws, you know, if you handball against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can do everything that you can to keep a lid on things becoming more escalated. Talk to your counselors, talk to your coaches, talk to your friend's parents. Maybe coming from you, they might hear something a little bit better. Maybe all the kids could get together and have their parents sit down like they're going to do a presentation and let each of these parents hear from each of them how they feel about watching road rage happen or sports rage happen while they're at bat or when they're in the outfield. I want to thank you, Lady Elaine, for coming in and sticking through everything through tonight. We are down to our last little bit, so I'm going to sign off. I want to thank all of you for hanging out with us, for going through our glitches, our cyberspace call drops, all of our technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it on behalf of OTE, both of us co-hosts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. 7,343
people, up from 7,212 yesterday. They're pouring in. You guys, find this initiative. We are trying really hard to bring you back something or bridge a gap or be a voice for you. So, and with that being said, OTE is saying good night. Please, guys, go out there. Be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference to somebody. Stand up and make a positive move toward a positive change. Stop sports rage at your kids' games. It's not helping them. Not at all. You all have a safe and blessed night. I will see you back here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.